الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى has created everything around us, and part of the beauty of that creation is that some of it we are not able to perceive, and even that inability to perceive is part of the magnificence and mercy of Allah. For example, all of us study in biology that, or maybe this is more physics actually, that there are all these different spectrums of light. But when we think about what the human eye is able to see, it's limited in that it can only capture a certain bandwidth. And when you get outside of that bandwidth, human eyes cannot perceive. Now, sometimes there might be an animal or another creature that's able to perceive. So, for example, if you think of a bat, bats have the ability to see at night. And one of the reasons they can see at night is because they can perceive certain bandwidths that we cannot perceive on the spectrum of light. But in the end, the spectrum is so broad, but the ability of creation is very limited. And even the ability to claim that we understand the spectrum is very limited, because the spectrum is still limited to what we're able to understand. And as time progresses, there may be other dimensions that we never understood that scientists will eventually elucidate, and all of them will continuously point to this idea that human beings are very limited in their ability to perceive, but that limited perception is still a blessing upon humanity. I'll just give you an example. Just think about this for a minute. It's very, very mind-boggling. So we are, what, 100 million miles away from the sun? The Earth, meaning we're sitting on the Earth, right? So the Earth is 100 million miles away from the sun. Now, I'm rounding up. It's probably closer to like 92, 93 million, but let's just make it 100 for argument's sake. So the Earth is 100 million miles away from the sun, and the sun is our source of heat, and it's our source of light, and it provides other benefits, but these two are very evident to us. Now, all of you have seen pictures of outer space. And when you look at a picture of outer space, it's pitch dark. It's pitch dark. That light that's coming from the sun is traveling through space, and the whole space is dark, but eventually, when you look at the Earth, when the light comes to the Earth, it produces all this light around us, and we're able to see. So why is it that the light from the sun travels 100 million miles? During that entire journey, it's pitch dark, and then all of a sudden, it's providing light on the surface of the Earth. The reason is because this entire atmosphere that surrounds us has tiny, tiny, tiny little dust particles. So, and you can think of it this way, when the light of the sun comes into the Earth, when it hits our atmosphere, it's basically like glitter. It's hitting these little dust particles, and they're shining like glitter. There's tiny, tiny, tiny glitter everywhere. And all that little glitter, we're not able to perceive the flashing of that glitter, but every time these waves hit that little dust, it just kind of sets off a little glitter or a spark, and all that put together forms the light that we're able to appreciate and how we're able to see during the day. Now, subhanAllah, when I look out, I can't see any of that. I can't see any of that dust. I can't see any of that glitter. Look, I'm sitting here in this room. I can't see any of the glitter. To me, it just looks like an open, empty vacuum of space. Now imagine if every time I walked around, I just saw these, you know, constant flares of dust and glitter and light shining in my face. I wouldn't be able to see anything the way I currently see. I wouldn't be able to appreciate things around me. I would just be seeing all this dust everywhere. So this is one of the very unique aspects of our creation, that everything is in balance and it's in complete control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, just take another example. Now that we're on this topic of, you know, how far away we are from the sun, look at the weather outside today. It's like 30 degrees, 32 degrees. What do we have? 2 feet of snow, you know, all over the place. And you go to another place on the planet. Let's take the southern hemisphere across from us. Let's pretend, you know, so like roughly, let's make a rough estimate of Australia. And if you go to Australia today, it's probably 80 degrees. I was in Australia last December, end of December last winter. And it was 125 degrees. It was like the complete opposite of what was going on in Chicago. Now, that heat is all being generated by the sun. There's no other place where heat's coming from. Well, there is, but the sun is the major source of heat. And just think about it. That heat that's being provided to the earth is coming from 100 million miles away. Okay, what's the diameter of the earth? The diameter of the earth is 10,000 miles. I'm rounding again, it's a little less, but 10,000 miles. So in this 100 million mile dimension, I have this tiny little circle, which represents 10,000 miles in diameter. And based on how it's tilted, whether it's a little tilted, because it's tilted a little bit, southern versus northern hemisphere, based on how it's tilted, I have summer in one part and winter in another. That's the precision with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the earth in the universe. You know, okay, and I'm making an extreme comparison here. If you took the diameter of the earth, 10,000 miles, and you divided it by 100 million miles, which would be the distance from the earth to the sun, and you made it a percentage, it would be like 0.01%, something like that, 0.01, 0.001, something like that. Now that's making the assumption that we're playing with the entire diameter of the earth, but we're not playing with the entire diameter of the earth, because the difference between winter and summer is just the tilt of the earth, which is going to be even less than that percentage, 0.0001, 0.0001, something like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the earth in such a perfect way that we're not even able to perceive. Okay? It's flying around at how many thousands of miles an hour, tens of thousands of miles an hour. It's moving like this. It's spinning while it's doing it. And it's angled in such a perfect way that we can reliably count on summer and winter, and we can make our plans accordingly. And there's no strings to connect any of this. There's no realignment or strings. The entire system just functions completely on its own in a beautiful cycle. And it allows for all of the things that we see around us. The seasons, the shedding of the leaves, the regrowing of the leaves, etc., etc. All of that's contingent upon this, the distance, the light, the heat, the temperature, etc. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such a vast creation in so many different dimensions that we're just not even able to perceive what's going on. We can sit and talk about one thing, but then we lose sight of the trillions and trillions of other things that are all happening at the same time. And then you could kind of move your attention and talk about the next thing. We as human beings don't even have the ability to compute more than three things in our head at one time. We start talking about the light, then we can't think about the heat. We start talking about the heat, we can't think about the light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything we know and everything we don't. I mean, if we just were to fathom that for a moment, it's just completely mind-boggling. And all of that's captured. For example, you know, and I think I spoke about this at one point somewhere, maybe years ago, but you know, we have the, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say that He is al-Basir. Al-Basir, He is the one who is able to see all. And we don't say the seer, we say the all-seeing, or the all-knowing, or the all-hearing. So what does that mean? It means that even if we don't appreciate it, it's still to be heard. For example, our hearts have a voice. Now, I can't hear your heart, you can't hear mine, but everybody knows that their heart is talking to them. You know, we have this voice inside of us that tells us things at certain times. I shouldn't do this, I should do that, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have behaved that way, I shouldn't have let that person take advantage of me, I should have been more firm, I should have been less firm, why didn't I do this? Even when you close your ears, there is a voice. And honestly, even beyond that, there's still so many other sounds that we could never appreciate. Because again, our ears, we talked about in the beginning, have a very limited spectrum of which sound waves they're able to capture, and the rest of it completely goes unnoticed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to hear all of it. For example, even the movement of an electron, it's producing a noise. Even the movement of an atom, it's producing a noise. Even the movement of the earth is producing a noise. The rotation of the earth, the movement of the earth, etc., all these waves, they all produce noises. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're able to perceive 1, 2, tiny, tiny, tiny percent, a little noise here, a little noise there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all, hears all, sees all, etc. It's just completely mind-blowing. Because even if we were to just talk about this room and the ability to be able to understand every single thing that's going on in this room, we wouldn't be able to do it. If I said, you know, if we took a moment, we said, well, look at the lights. They're not just lighting up, they're exhibiting these waves, and these waves are bumping into particles, and the particles are then allowing us to be able to see the light in the room. But wait a minute, the light is actually wired. The wire is to an electric source, the electric source, et cetera, et cetera. You would just be going on and on and on and on, and we wouldn't be able to capture all that's happening here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the seer, all-knowing, the all-hearing, the all-seeing, has complete and absolute control of every single dimension in this entire universe. And we're not even talking about our, you know, one earth or our one universe. That entire universe, and I said this a few months ago as well, that entire universe, our entire universe, is essentially just a tiny ring in a desert. And then that desert is like the second heavens. And that entire second heavens is another tiny ring compared to the third heaven, to the fourth heaven, to the fifth heaven, to the et cetera, et cetera. It's just completely mind-blowing. It's completely mind-blowing. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, this is the Allah that we have been blessed to be able to worship. Like, you know, like people, they get so caught up in something that is above them, that they just want to know what's going on with that. For example, some people are really caught up in the people who look very beautiful in the world, right? So there's these magazines that come out, oh, whatever, monthly, weekly, where they like feature the more beautiful people, and everybody wants to know, what are they wearing? How are they dressing? What are they doing? What's going on in their lives? So many people's minds and, you know, attention goes in that direction. Or sometimes somebody's very wealthy. Then people who are into wealth, they want to know, okay, who's the richest guy in the world? And what is that guy doing? And what's his background? And how did he get there? And what did he study? And what, et cetera, et cetera. Or sometimes somebody's into somebody who might have a unique strength or skill. Okay, what's happening with this guy? What team is he on? Where is he going to get traded? What is he or she able to do? Who's going to win the MVP, et cetera? And you know, it's human nature. Allah has designed us in this way, that we are attracted to extremities. But the purpose of that, meaning the fundamental underlying purpose of all of that, is that we We have been made this way so that we can eventually see beyond people and be completely enamored by Allah. Because there's nothing more beautiful. Look, if anything in it, first of all, so let's just make things very clear. The entire universe is amazing, beautiful, beyond anyone's comprehension. That should immediately drag us to Allah, and we should be done with the discussion. There should be nothing else that our hearts, minds, ears, eyes want to experience except Allah. But let's say for a minute that we became confused and we looked at a person at their beauty and were impressed, or we looked at their wealth and we were impressed, or we looked at their minds and we were impressed, or we looked at their strength and talents and abilities and we were impressed. But even in that case, we would be forced to say that this is the creation of a creator, and it is a sign of the greatness of the creator, not the creation. I mean, if you look at a painting from Picasso, the painting may be amazing, but in the end, it's Picasso. That's where the skill came from. So every single thing in the end, wherever a person turns, they're forced to come to one conclusion. Whether they directly turn to the universe and everything around them, whether they turn to themselves inside, whether they look at the nature that exists around them, or even if they were for a moment to mistakenly look at the creation and get caught up in the creation itself, they would still be forced to say, "Subhanallah, this is all from Allah." And that's the beauty of all of the things around us. Now, we've been given this ability to perceive, but the perception is there not in vain, but to eventually take us to a conclusion, which is that Allah has created all of this, including my ability to perceive. Including my ability to perceive. And we should never lose sight of that. And I would say that today, it's only become more easy to understand all of this. Because all of this in understanding that human beings have gained in the last 1400 years, it's all organized. It's all concordant. It's all concordant with everything else. You know, if you would have looked at, sometimes people say, well, science explains everything. So, I don't need to believe in a God. Science explains everything. But you have to remember that science, the whole reason science exists is because science is predicated on organization. You cannot have science if you don't have organization. How will you have a principle that governs the universe if there's no organization to the universe? This is an example, and I think I've talked about this before. In the 1950s, no scientist wanted to touch cancer. Nobody wanted to study cancer. Why? Because they said, why should I study cancer? It's complete chaos. Where am I going to find principles in chaos? I'm not going to study cancer. I'm not going to find any principles. Science is contingent upon finding commonality, themes, making theories based on ideas. There's got to be some principle there. So why would I study chaos? It took 20 more years before the scientists eventually, and people who used to say that there's any degree of organization to cancer were ridiculed at that time. Until many, many decades later, when people began to show that there's actually very, very specific things that happen in cancer. And now, Hafiz Saab is sitting here. He actually studies these very, very specific changes that occur in cancer. And eventually they were forced to say that even the chaos is organized. Even what's seemingly chaotic and random is still organized. And now everybody wants that when they have a cancer, they want to sequence the DNA and understand the organizing principles behind it, and based on that, they want to plan their treatments. So essentially, what we see is that everything's pointing to this creator. Everything, including all of the science that's arising today, is all essentially just a study of all of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, people might want to come up with their own theories as to where it came from. Fine, that's up to them. But in the end, it came from somewhere. And nothing, you can explain it cyclically, you can explain it in a circular manner, you can say that, well, this happened because of the Big Bang and da-da-da-da-da, but you still come to the point that something had to be there. It doesn't end, you just put it in a circle. So the reality is that everything around us is actually just a sign of Allah. Everything around us is a sign of Allah. And we have been given this great blessing to be able to understand this ultimate reality of our existence. And essentially, we call that the Shahada. That's exactly what the Shahada is, that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, indicating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master of the universe, and so there would be nothing else to worship. And if you were to deceivingly think for a moment that there is A, B, C, D, E that I could worship instead, eventually you would be forced to come to the conclusion that those things still had to have been created. So, quite the simple summary is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the entire universe in a magnificent and unique way, and we are only able to perceive a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that. It's essentially zero. But we are able to perceive enough to be able to come to this very simple conclusion that there is no other deity worthy of worship except Allah. And when we see these things happening around us, like the seasons changing, or even the fact that we can see in the light and we can't see in the dark, or you look at a picture of space and you see it's all dark, but then all the sun's all the light from the sun is coming through, and we should just, you know, it should just cause us to just say Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate all of the grandeur of His creation, and may He make us amongst those who, in whose hearts these signs penetrate such that they become madly in love with their Lord. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين